It's HBR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Grateful you're with us, as well as returning guest, Deep Purple keyboardist Don Airey, notable vet of Ozzy Osbourne's band, Rainbow, Whitesnake, and many others, and with a new solo album we're taking a listen to, Push to the Edge. But while these tunes should tick the boxes for Purple fans, I bet you through all of Don's diverse stories today, you'll find yourself included in this really fun interview.
How you doing, Dave?
What's up, bud? When were you doing that Purple cover record that had the killer Little Feat and the Allman Brothers and stuff?
2021, I think.
That's when you were last on.
All right, we talked before.
Plus, I met you a long, long time ago at Radio City Music Hall. It was a great show. I was interviewing Ian Gillan up in his dressing room where you had to take the elevator with the little guys with the suits who operate the little levers, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And again, it's Don Airey, and he's talking about Push to the Edge, his new solo record. One of the singles on there, too, Moon Rising, has your really classic organ sound. Now, how big is the piece of equipment?
Well, the organ itself is quite a heavy piece of kit. You know, it's 200 pounds.
Okay.
And then I have two rotating speakers, two Leslie cabinets. They're in a separate room. Then I have a Marshall. I was using a Marshall 100-watt amp with a 4x12 speaker.
What kind of keyboard?
Well, the Hammond is an A100. I've got four of them, I think. And they all date from the early 60s. But the thing about A100s is they're just the same as a B3, except they were built for the home market.
It was 10 years ago, Don, we had Booker T. Jones. He did a show in our studio, holds about 100 people. For about an hour before it, it was just me and him. I'd ask questions, he'd tell stories, and he had in front of him, we rented a B, it's probably the only one on the island, a big B3 Hammond organ, and then those Leslie rotating speaker things. Two, the sound check for those things. They make a lot of noise just turning them on.
They do, yes. Heavens. Oh, I love Booker T. With Purple, we play before the first encore.
Green Onions.
Green Onions or Time is Tight. He's a wonderful player.
You ever meet him?
No. I've met the guitar player from Booker T.
Oh, Steve Cropper.
Steve Cropper. And when I met him, I got down on all fours and bowed down before him.
And that's a great lead into your background. HBR has two stations, and one of them is all classical. Hawaii Public Radio started because of these guys who wanted a classical music station on 24 hours a day in Hawaii. They invented it, and then eventually they made the second stream, which is what you're on, that has all the talk. And I listened to, like, Flame in the Water. Draw the connection of your playing on this song, Flame in the Water, and the huge, I'm thinking, profound influence of your father, Norman.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, it is very much a classical intro to Flame in the Water. I think it's more Robert Schumann than it is Don Airey. Mm. Of course, Schumann was a big influence on me. My father was quite a good pianist himself, Fats Waller. He could play all the Fats Waller, and he taught me to play like Fats Waller. But he had a vast classical collection as well.
Okay.
So he was always playing that. Now, come on, Donald, come listen to this. I've got something I want to play to you. He introduced me to Chopin and Rachmaninoff. And then eventually Stravinsky. He was a big Stravinsky fan. And then the strangest thing of all, when the Beatles came out, I don't think I've ever known a bigger Beatles fan than my father.
Wow.
He said, these boys are wonderful. They've cheered everyone up. He said, we've all been a bit miserable since the war, you know. We had a Beatles Christmas. Beatles books, Beatles records, Beatles guitars. All the gifts were to do with the Beatles, yeah. Beatles Christmas tree on the top of the Christmas tree. There was Ringo.
You end up going to earning a degree at the University of Nottingham, a diploma at the Royal Northern College of Music. He puts you on that road?
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. Him and he had a great buddy called John Monroe. He was my godfather. He had a Steinway piano, so I had to go there around once a week. He was a very good cook, and I'd play for him, and then we'd have a bit of dinner, and then he'd play me records, you know, that he thought I should listen to. Mahler, Beethoven.
Wow.
There was a society up in Sunderland, my hometown, called the Sunderland Pianoforte Society that had a recital, and he was the president. Every month I'd hear a really fantastic piano player.
How old were you?
6 or 7.
There's another piano jam on there, Girl from Highland Park. How do you come up with a name like that?
Well, it refers to a famous young singer. who was brought up in Harlem Park in L.A.
And you're not going to say who the singer is?
No, it's Billie Eilish. I'm a big fan. The piece starts off with a chord from one of her songs called I Love You. Most beautiful song. I was just playing that chord and I thought, that's where the piece came from. It's a little tribute to Billie. I think she's a wonderful songwriter.
And that crosses generations. Have you guys met?
No, but one of the girls that works for us as deputy tour manager, she works for Billie as well. So messages have been exchanged.
Ah, on your pop, one other thing. Sometimes people have gotten the chance to like pay back their parents for nice things. Is there any professional moment that you shared with your dad?
Well, they came when we played in Newcastle with Ozzy. Got them a room in the hotel. I mean, they only live 10 miles away. I said, but, oh, you have to come and stay. So they came on the tour bus to the gig with Ozzy, and Ozzy sat them down and poured them a drink, and he made a terrible fuss of them.
Oh.
And then when we got to the gig, Ozzy made sure that, you know, they had the best seats in the house by the sound desk. Afterwards, they were back in the dressing room, and they came back on the tour bus again. Ozzy was just totally delightful with them. It was lovely, and we were down for breakfast next day, and Ozzy came over and said goodbye to them and said how nice it was to meet them. You know, we had pictures and, you know, he was just totally charming. Sharon, too.
What was the year?
84, I think.
Okay, bark at the moon sort of deal.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, a final question. One thing, you mentioned his name. Your dad was a fan of Fats Waller. Jimmy Smith plays Fats Waller, I was listening to over the weekend. What do you think of Jimmy Smith?
Jimmy Smith, for me, is number one. He's the number one organ player. He's my hero. I've seen him once. He came on stage. You know, he was a grumpy old thing.
I've seen him. He was not
he
pleasant.
Came on and he made great play that the organ hadn't been turned on properly, growling, looking at the audience as though it was our fault. You know, and then he counted the band in and off he went. After 10 seconds, I said to myself, stole my clothes, I've gone to heaven. He had two Leslies. He was so loud and his playing was just, it was remarkable. He was a remarkable musician. I got a funny story about it.
Tell me.
The first Jimmy Smith record I bought was Walk on the Wild Side. Oliver Nelson's big band plays the first 2 minutes 20. And it was on a 45. So I played this thing right through. And it's just a bit, oh, there's no organ. Oh, it must be a mispressing. And about 5 weeks in, my dad said to me,
flip it over.
You haven't listened to the other side. We turned it over. Jimmy comes in and it just blew my mind. But I never had a cover for it. You know, I bought it in a second-hand shop. Anyway, I saw on the internet, Jimmy Smith, Walk on the Wild Side, cover only, for sale for £1. But I bought it on eBay. And it arrived at the house, and it's the cover. And I got the record. And when I looked at the cover, I said to my wife, God, Jimmy's looking at me real funny. He was staring at me. I said, God, this is a really, really strange moment for me. And the guy who services my Hammond texted me, said, Jimmy Smith just died. It was the weirdest thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the very moment that I got a cover for my favorite record ever.
And you thought he was looking at you real funny, too, which felt...
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's so funny you mentioned that, because I know throughout your life you get peppered with questions that you must have heard a bazillion times, especially because you were there when the great guitarist Randy Rhoads passed away in a horrible plane crash. But the flip side about that is, I've never heard you say anything like this. So any time that you got to spend in Randy's presence hanging out, where he had a record out, a cassette.
Yeah, he turned me on to that record by Pat Metheny, As Falls Wichita, So Falls Wichita Falls.
Wow.
He loved that, and he could play quite a lot of it, and we used to listen to it. What's that chord there? And I'd kind of work out what it was, and little bits of pieces, and we'd do some of it in soundcheck. But his other one, I'd never heard of them, but the French sisters who play piano duets, Marie Lald and Patti LeBec, he was a big fan of them, and Randy was into this. And, hey, man, have you heard this?
Record or cassette, or you remember?
He had it on cassette, yeah, and he had a big boombox, you know, and it was a great time, yeah.
And just a great time here today with a wide range of storytelling from Deep Purple keyboardist Don Airey, new solo record, Push to the Edge. We'll hear some now. Did you have fun today? Was this okay?
Yeah, it's great. Very nice talking to you, Dave.
I appreciate it.
Okay, all the very best.